This is the audio recording for the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting for June 23rd, 2020.
Yes, that's true.
And so we can take them one at a time, and if you think there's a, you can elaborate on why you think Dave Murray had erred, we can discuss that further. Are there any abutters interested in this case? All right, thank you. Say again?
Abutters?
Kathy Carlson is an abutter.
Thank you.
And Marcia Stafford.
You will have an opportunity to speak if you so desire.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't catch that second one.
Lisa, who was the second abutter?
Marcia Stafford.
Oh, Marcia Stafford. Okay, thank you.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The first item of interest is that David observed structures that were being occupied at various locations on the property in violation of Town of Candia's land use ordinance. And he cited the sections on those. In another matter, there was also a setback issue where you were not within the 25, outside of the 25-foot setback. Do you have a comment on that? Will you feel that you are get that setback?
The one is 25-foot setback. That was resolved when we moved one trailer that had an issue. That's basically been addressed as far as corrective action.
All right. What about the issue of lack of water supply or adequate toilet facilities?
They have toilet facilities, but they don't have conventional ones like a house would have. They have no sewage or runoff. They basically have either composting toilets or cassette toilets. Cassette toilets is something that, you know, basically it's a little bit like the camper ones where it's a small toilet device that has a really small holding tank, about a 3-gallon holding tank, and eventually they fill it up, and every few weeks they basically just dump that out. We dump it into a septic tank directly. Hmm.
Is that considered adequate facilities that you know of, Dave?
They are not adequate facilities for
right. You have to be hard plumbed to a septic system?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
If it was a campground or something to that effect, that would be different, but
Mr. Bowie, you said that those toilets had a tank that was about 3 gallons. Is that correct? And they emptied it every couple of weeks?
The ones that don't have a composting toilet, yes.
And it's 3 gallons in a couple of weeks? I mean, I imagine it's some kind of low flush toilet, but that doesn't seem reasonable.
Well, it's not an anything flush toilet. It's basically the equivalent to a job site house. There's a little bit of solution that's in it at the beginning, and then the only accumulation into it. That's so little. And it's only a single person. A single person that's not on site very often, that's out working. And that's why the use is so small. These aren't family, you know, things like we would have.
Boy, do you have a comment?
Mr. Boy, how many of these structures are on this parcel of land?
There are three.
Three.
Murray should be able to be seen those.
And they're all occupied, Mr. Boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Each with one person.
Correct. Has this project, or this been approved as a special exception for under Section 1504? So you're not calling these things accessory dwelling units, are you? These are separate.
No, they're not dwelling units. That was basically a big part of the appeal. Two of the violations are basically violations of buildings. These are trailers. I mean, these are vehicles, you know, registrable vehicles with axles and tires and brakes and taillights and regulated by the DOT.
In which somebody's living. Is that correct?
I didn't hear that. Forgive me.
Uh, there are people residing in these trailers.
Oh, are people residing in them? Was that the question? Yes, they are.
All right, thank you.
And you don't dispute that that's contrary to the ordinance?
Say that again?
Do you dispute that that's contrary to the ordinance?
Well, the ordinance doesn't address residents. The ordinance are reflective of codes for buildings. Basically, these aren't buildings.
So you're suggesting because it's a trailer there, they're approved to live in them?
No, they're vehicles, and vehicles aren't subject to these particular ordinances that it was written for. There may be others that regulate vehicles, but I've got no violations for vehicles. I have violations written for buildings. And I'd be more than happy to wait if you wanted to reread the particular violations that were issued to me.
I don't see it. Dave, you've got a comment on that?
1504E is accessory dwelling units. Anyone living in any kind of structure, it becomes a dwelling. That's the vocabulary.
Because you dwell in it.
Because they're dwelling in it.
Yes.
So whether it's a bus, a car, or whatever.
Do you dispute that argument, Mr. Bowie?
I think I heard what Dave said, but what was your question?
He was referencing section 1504E, which addresses accessory dwelling units. And if somebody is dwelling in a unit, that is prohibitive.
Well, actually, that's not what that section says. That section, actually, if you read that, Dave's injecting a little bit more into that than what that one says. It specifically addressed the definition of accessory dwellings being structures attached to the primary dwelling. Now, one of the things that Dave had mentioned that, you know, is somewhat of an argument, well, these aren't attached to the primary dwelling, so that they would, in essence, be in violation of that description. Well, that's correct, but these are trailers. They couldn't be attached. They're not designed to be permanently affixed.
Okay. Bear with us, we're rooting through some details of this, please.
Do you have a permit to have a trailer park?
No, I don't have a trailer park.
You have trailers.
Actually, I spoke
Which
about
is
that.
It?
You can reference that conversation, I'm sure.
In the meantime,
you guys have photos, right?
Yes, we do have
yes.
photos. Okay. In the meantime, we could hear from abutters. Are there any abutters that wish to address this?
Where's the thing? There's something that says that you can't live in a travel trailer.
I'm Marcia Stafford, and I live next door. I'm not for this at all, one bit. And there's a whole slew of reasons. One, the
audio cut out.
I just think there's a lot of like health code violations with this. There's no running water, composting toilets, pretty much an outhouse in the trailer. How are they getting the electrical? From what I heard from one of the residents there, extension cords were being run across the lawn, which is a fire hazard.
Did you stop talking or did audio cut out?
No, I did stop talking.
Thank you. Is that the end of your commentary?
I'm sure that there might be some more to add.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure we weren't missing a cutout in the electronics.
Mr. Chairman, may I just...
Go ahead.
Mr. Bowie, your argument is that these are not residential dwellings, but they're vehicles in which people live, and therefore they're not subject to the zoning ordinance. Am I correct in my understanding of your argument?
Yeah, that almost basically sums it up. I mean, basically, these are vehicles have regulations, but the regulations I was cited for being violation are not for vehicle.
Thank you, Mr. Bowie. I call your attention to section 501D of the Canadian Zoning Ordinance, let me read this for you, okay? Parking, storage, or use of major recreational equipment. It said, no such equipment shall be parked or stored in the front yard area in the R district, nor shall be used for living, sleeping, or housekeeping purposes in any district within the town of Candia. So you're arguing that these things aren't really residences, they're structures, and seems like you're suggesting that they're recreational vehicles. Well, they're also prohibited in the town of Candia. So could you address that, please?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you look at the number, there's an article and then section of what you just quoted. I'm very familiar with that one. I was not written in violation for that. I only dispute the violations that were written to me.
Okay.
And certainly, I wouldn't address side things that weren't written to me.
We can amend the violation. I'm sure the building inspector would consider amending the violation if that's necessary. But shall we address at this meeting tonight the rest of your arguments that you're not subject to
basically, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So would you like for us to adjourn the meeting and amend the complaint and have another hearing, or did you want us to address the remainder of your arguments tonight?
I heard what you said. I don't really quite understand if you're suggesting tabling it, adding, and then addressing again in the future.
Sure.
Was that what you were suggesting?
Right. Our code enforcement officer failed to include this to cite you under 501D.
Well, the reason for that, I don't believe the recreational vehicles.
Okay.
Does that office trail look like a recreational vehicle?
No. Then you can hook it up and haul it down the road?
Yeah. And so really, you know, if the code enforcement officer disputes the fact that these are recreational vehicles, we're going to have to listen to what his, why he made this citation.
However you want to label them, campers, trailers, whatever, you can't live in them on your property. Only the primary residence and that one accessory dwelling that you already have. That's it.
And Mr. Bowie, one other thing. Section 205 of the Candia zoning ordinance states there shall be only one residential building on a lot unless otherwise approved under innovative land use controls. Have you been approved under innovative land use controls to have more than one residential building or one residential use on your lot?
No, I don't have residential buildings. That's the thing, these are trailers.
Okay.
And I don't say that simply. I mean, it may sound like I'm making a simplistic argument, but there is actually federal law exempting trailers from building ordinances and codes. And I don't expect you to either know that or actually to be able to address that in this kind of format. I mean, that really is, in essence, it has to be addressed at a court, where you're talking more about laws and not ordinances.
Okay.
I mean, even though ordinances are rules
and
they have to be obeyed, well, the laws also have to be obeyed.
Well, ordinances are laws, Mr. Bowie. Okay, let's get that straight right now. Ordinances are laws. So that there's no question about that. Secondly, you don't want to call them residences, but you want to call them trailers. Trailers are not allowed. You are not allowed to live in a trailer. You cannot have multiple residences on your property. So you're trying to spin this thing to say, to make it look like nothing applies. If those are trailers and you said they could be pulled down the road and they are trailers, then you cannot have people living in them. If they are buildings, then you cannot have multiple buildings on your property. End of story. That's both arguments. Neither one is allowed. Let's go on to the next one.
Can I address? I mean, that was a very, very good argument if I was applying for something. I'm not applying for anything.
That is the problem. You did not apply for anything. That is why you are here, sir.
No, I'm here for disputing the violations. I'm not here.
And you are in violation because you did not apply, and neither one of those things that you were addressing applies. If you are a trailer, you cannot have people live in them. If you are not, if you are a dwelling, you cannot have multiple dwellings on your property. You're saying you're not either one of those things. You have to pick one, and neither one is allowed. So,
actually, I've spoken quite a bit of length with Dave about this, and he recognized, as he just recognized earlier, an ordinance that does address the RVs, which is very applicable to RVs. These aren't really RVs, and strangely enough, I don't really argue them being either or. I would merely point out there is a hole, and I'm not trying to take advantage of it. I'm just pointing out there's a huge hole. The state actually tried to address filling this hole just last summer. And strangely enough, before they addressed it, they decided to table it for some study, which was terrible. I think Dave actually was familiar with that, Dave Murray. And we spoke about that and both agreed it was terrible. Actually, they didn't address this because then it would make sense to have either some third animal regulations or push it one way or the other.
But until that's satisfied in the court of law, this is what we have to go by.
Mr. Bowie, wasn't there a study introduced in November 1st, 2019, to study tiny homes?
Yes.
And House Bill 482?
I don't remember the bill, but I'm sure whatever bill you state, that was...
Has not been approved yet?
No, which is terrible. I wish they had addressed that. They didn't fail it or pass it. They tabled it, which I think was a terrible, terrible thing. Just lazy sidestep thing that the state did. They really should have.
Mr. Boyd, could you keep to the subject and not keep going off on these tangents?
We're going to move on this. I wanted to be clear what your hope was. You're here to address these violations. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. The setback issue you said you resolved.
That's correct.
The issue of having people living in other structures is not resolved.
No.
Okay.
Setback on the wetlands hasn't been resolved either.
Oh, setback on wetlands.
And what about the setback and all the health issues?
Poorly drained soil.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the issue of the inadequate facilities and running water.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we're going to convince Mr. Bowie that he's in violation of the zoning ordinance tonight. And unless other members of the ZBA have questions of Mr. Bowie, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Is there any other comments from the abutters? Because in a moment, I will close it to the public and we'll have a discussion from just the board. And we'll render a decision.
Could I ask Mr. Bowie a question?
You may.
I don't have anything to say.
Thank you.
I don't have anything else.
Mr. Bowie,
I'm totally against this.
Okay, duly noted.
Is there any chance that either of the abutters wanted to ask me any questions? I mean, even outside of this, that I may have opportunity to answer? I mean,
apparently not. They had their opportunity to voice their comments in public, and they're all set at this point. Ron has a question.
Yeah, Mr. Bowie, I do have some questions. Graywater.
Of course.
Graywater, you've indicated how you feel you're dealing with septic. What is happening with the graywater? What's happening with permanent water for these units and permanent electricity?
On the water side, there is no permanent water plumbed or hosed to these guys. They're basically just using a faucet at best. I mean, they use a garden faucet. You know, for washing their hands, you know, they really don't. I haven't seen them washing any plates or anything. I think they're basically just using paper plates. And the only other things that they do, like lawn, things like that, that we would have typical runoff from a house, they're going off site. They're not even using my laundry machine. Now, the electricity, I'm sorry, electricity, it's extension cords. I mean, they're outdoor extension cords. Certainly, Dave Murray can come check that out, but that's, you know, not addressing today. All I could testify to is that, yes, there's extension cords to two of the locations. One has no outside power. It's totally an off-the-grid setup.
Okay. All right, if that's the end of commentary, we're gonna close to the public.
Spent all the money for a whole open plug.
What was that?
I missed that.
It's his audio.
Okay, all right. It's officially closed to the public. We will not hear any more comments on that. Is there any other comments from the board, how we should proceed on this?
I'm prepared to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate.
Yes, please, look forward to a motion.
I move to deny applicant Susan Bowie's appeal of a notice of the violation dated April 27th, 2020, in which the code enforcement officer cited violations of Candia zoning ordinance sections 205, 1504E, and 1006.3. This motion is made for the following reasons. One, section 205, buildings on one lot, clearly states there shall be only one residential building on a lot unless otherwise approved under innovative land use controls. The only lot of record is map 405, lot 122, on which there are multiple structures presently occupied and can only be considered residences. The applicant has failed to demonstrate that he's been approved under innovative land use controls. Two, section 1504E, accessory dwelling units, clearly restricts the size, number, location, and architectural requirements for accessory dwelling units, as well as requiring adequate water and sewer provisions. The section, moreover, also requires a special exception in conformance with required special exception conditions. It has been clearly established that the applicant has not met the required standards by his failure to obtain a special exception he required under 1502, exceeding the number of allowable accessory dwelling units, failure to attach any dwelling unit to the main dwelling unit or to comply with architectural standards, failure to observe setback requirements, and failure to provide adequate sewer and water service. Lastly, section 1006B of the Candia zoning ordinance prohibits building activity within either 100 feet of very poorly drained soils or 50 feet of poorly drained soils. The record clearly demonstrates violations of this ordinance as well as RSA 147:8 requiring approval of septic systems by New Hampshire authorities. It's a long motion, but it covers all the points I think it's important for this board to make.
Agreed. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Judith Sott. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I was voting electronically, Tony and Mark?
Everything has to be by roll call.
Okay. I beg your pardon. Judith?
I agree.
Bob Beatron, agree?
Boyd Chivers, agree.
Ron Howe agrees.
Mark Romakaitis?
Mark Romakaitis agrees.
Tony Simons?
Agree.
All right, that's a unanimous decision. What that means, Mr. Bowie, is that you're denied relief from the administrative decision. Your options going forward are, correct me if I'm wrong, you could apply for some accessory dwelling units.
Apply for a rehearing.
To further debate how you can have what you want and still be in compliance with law.
Or go to Superior Court.
Or the next step is to take it to court. So those are your options. You will receive a notice of this decision that you have something in writing that we denied you any relief from administrative appeal.
I understand. Can I just mention, this is not as a talking point on any of this. It was really just my intention, certainly there's no hard feelings. And, my intention is to do the rehearing for the purpose where just when I go before a judge and the judge asks this one simplistic question, did you exhaust all options at the town level? I want to be able to say yes, because I've had judges give me a hard time when I skip steps, even if they weren't required. So just assume I'll probably push that. And I understand you'll have a quorum voted down, that's fine. And then I'll just move forward from there. And that woman that wanted to talk to me, was it Katie, Kathy? I'd be more than happy to meet with you. I don't know where you are. Maybe you'd have to come to me or I don't know, get a phone number from Dave Murray, building code guy, Lisa.
I sent you a little private message in the program with my phone number.
I hope I don't lose that when I shut off this thing. I didn't know how to respond. Forgive me.
No, that's okay. Look at the chat. It's there.
All right.
Very good.
Look for the chat button.
All right. Thank you, folks. This case will be considered closed at this time. Thank you for your participation. The next case, Lisa.
Case number 20-004.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Case number 20-004, applicant Chris Lewis, Brady Sullivan Properties, 670 North Commercial Street, Manchester, New Hampshire, 03101. Owner, Brady South LLC. Property location, 366 South Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 410, Lot 147. For a variance under Article 5, Section 5.02A, 2, Table of Use Regulations, Type of Land Use, Residential, and Article 15, Section 15.04E, Specific Special Exception Uses, Accessory Dwelling Units. Intent to allow an accessory dwelling unit to be created in an L light industrial 2 zone with an increased square footage area above the maximum.
Very good, thank you. Is the applicant with us electronically?
Mr. Lewis, you hear us?
Do you see that person?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, off to the left on the bottom, yeah. Chris Lewis.
That's Mr. Lewis?
Yes.
Do you have audio, Mr. Lewis? We can't hear you. Mr. Lewis, audio? How do we proceed?
I just asked him to start his video. He might have to go off and come back.
It looks like he got off, is that right?
He's still there, he's right here.
Okay.
Just a point of order. When you just did that roll call, you asked Tony to vote.
Tony can't vote.
Mr. Lewis, can you hear us? Only five of us that vote.
I can hear you.
Good point of order.
You asked him.
Good point of order. Thank
you. Sorry, I had to switch computers. My other computer, I was getting audio, or I wasn't getting video on.
Okay.
I switched. I'm showing up as my wife.
Okay, I'm going to remove you.
The other one, yes, thank you.
Okay.
We're in contact.
Can I share my screen during the presentation?
If you have something to show us, you should
be
able to.
I have an aerial that might help the discussion.
I'm going to say you can try. This is the first time someone's asked us to do that, but you should be able to bring that up on the screen for everybody to see.
All right, so we have audio now. We can proceed. Is that correct? Mr. Lewis, you can hear us?
Yes, I can hear you fine, thank you.
Thank you. So we've got the first issue is allowing an accessory dwelling in light industrial, which is not allowed. And there's an issue of square footage exceeding the maximum allowed. Can you address those for us, please? Maybe what you're thinking about?
Yes, so, as you can see on the screen, the property is located at the corner of both Manchester Road and South Road. Mr. Brady purchased the property at the end of last year. Their family owns three properties in the neighborhood. This will be the fourth, and they want to continue to use it as a primary dwelling unit, as well as expand a portion of the building connected to that primary dwelling unit as an accessory dwelling. You can see in the image the location of the primary dwelling unit, in red, the accessory dwelling, the barn and the garage. So they spent the last few months kind of cleaning up the property, disposing of the debris that is piled up there over the years. And then as they're remodeling the existing home, trying to figure out what to do with some of the space, and they would like to get permission to utilize that portion that you see outlined in red as an accessory dwelling unit. And the idea is, and I'll switch here to.
We're not seeing the diagram.
Oh, you're not.
We have only the diagrams you submitted with the application.
Okay.
Mr. Lewis, on your screen, there's a share screen button at the bottom.
Okay.
You might have to click that, and then the moderator has to allow sharing of the screen. So again, you heard Lisa indicate no one has asked to do this before, so we may have to muddle through it a little bit.
I see the share screen here, so.
I hit the button, share screen, host disabled attendee screen share.
So that's where, Lisa, you have to enable it somehow.
It says a participant can share, so let me see. If...
Oh.
Okay, so all of you are there, so let me just see if this. Is it the one that says Microsoft Edge? No.
Uh-huh.
Basic advanced files. Share. See, I'm pushing.
Should we have to proceed then? I want to give fair time for you to retrieve that document.
Oh,
well, there's the.
I think I got it. Is this it?
We have those.
Mr. Lewis?
I'm trying.
What do you
it
have?
It says I'm sharing.
Okay, what
it
do you have I'm on your screen?
I have, let's see, here we go.
You're moving the agenda, you're moving everything around, right? Okay,
yeah,
you guys can see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey, that's pretty good.
All right, yeah, that's pretty good.
Wow. I'm throwing in the towel already.
So I guess just to back up a little bit, I wanted to just show this because you can see the primary dwelling unit kind of outlined in blue, the accessory dwelling outlined in red, and then the barn in the back,
okay.
And then the garage around the front. The entry to the site is off the south road here. So a lot of this, you know, work that's being done kind of back in here is really visible from the road. And if you've driven by lately, you'll see that they've cleared out a lot of the old trees and debris that were all in around the barn and the dwelling unit facing Old Manchester Road. They've been in the process of renovating the primary dwelling unit itself. It's a two-story home, approximately 2,000 square feet. And what they would like permission to do is convert this portion of the building in red to an accessory dwelling unit. And the building is bigger than 1,000 square feet, but on the area closest to the barn, there's a two-car stall. So they would like to renovate that back into a true two-car garage here, and then take the rest of the remaining space up to the connection point of the primary dwelling unit and create a two-bedroom accessory dwelling. And the size is really just because that's what's there. I mean, there's no proposal to make it any bigger than it already is. It's merely utilizing that space as an accessory dwelling unit.
All right, thank you. And the first issue is that we know that there's a maximum on accessory dwelling units. Are you aware of that?
Yes. So, and I understood when I read the ordinance that it was 750 square feet. And I went back and I looked at the state regulation, and they say that that's the minimum, and I think you're saying that that's the maximum.
About something else.
And you know, in this particular case, you know, it's if you look at the plan, you know, this is the state of the existing structure in terms of, you know, the garage space, and then the remaining portion of the structure up into the main dwelling unit just happens to be that particular space. So it's more a matter of, you know, utilizing the space effectively as that accessory dwelling unit. And so, you know, and we understand that it's more, but we're asking for relief on that to accommodate the existing square footage.
Mr. Lewis, I think you're confusing two different sections of the ordinance. There is a section of the ordinance that says that, and I think it has to do with apartments or multiple units, and it says that they have to be a minimum of 800 square feet. But the state law for accessory dwelling units limits it to 800 square feet or whatever the town sets, and our town set it at 750 square feet. So there's you're confusing two different things there. So you're only, according to Candia's regulations, you are only allowed 750 square feet. So you're asking for a 50% increase, at least a 50% increase in what you're allowed to do on that lot. There's also another issue with that, and it wasn't brought up that we know that this lot is zoned light industrial one, but it was previously zoned residential. So that house, when they changed the zoning to light industrial, that house became a pre-existing non-conforming use because it conformed at the time. It no longer conforms, but it's pre-existing. So you always have the right to use that dwelling, or that property, as a house. The problem is that section 202 of our ordinance says that pre-existing non-conforming uses cannot be expanded. So by adding that accessory dwelling unit, you are expanding that pre-existing non-conforming use from one dwelling to two dwellings. The second thing is, if you look at, there's another part, if you look at the section under accessory dwelling units, one of the regulations under there says that the owner of the property has to live in one of the two units. Is Mr. Brady going to be living in one of those two units?
Yes, or one of his family members.
No, it says the owner. The owner of the property has to live in one of the two units.
Okay, understood.
That's, and it's, I can tell you the exact thing.
I got it right here.
1504E9.
Okay.
And either the primary or the accessory dwelling unit shall be occupied by the owner of the property.
Yeah. Right. So it's 1504E9. So either you'd need a variance for that, or the property would have to be owned by one of the two things living there. assuming that you got the accessory dwelling unit.
And that can be accommodated. I think they would do that.
Can you rethink the square footage of the accessory dwelling unit?
Certainly, yes. I mean, I think that the perspective wasn't that we're expanding the envelope of the structure, just merely trying to utilize it as it currently as effectively.
We understand you want to get maximum use out of it, but if you could find a way to pare that down and make the rest of that the area that you cannot use into storage of some description, just not living quarters. I'm just trying to throw out some options for you that you can rework the project and maybe have it get approved.
Mr. Lewis, also, is there, there's a loft in that. Have you counted the square footage in that loft as square footage in the property?
I believe that we did, yes. I mean, it's a big building. If it were to be over what you approve, I would obviously make sure that it doesn't exceed what we agree.
Pardon me?
Right there,
everything?
That was way up.
Yeah.
That's probably around 1,300 square feet. But the plans aren't all that, so I could be mistaken.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
How do we overcome Section 202B, which it's an expansion of... It says no legal nonconforming use shall be changed to another nonconforming use, and no nonconforming use shall be enlarged or expanded. So they're expanding a nonconforming use. How do we overcome that initial hurdle there?
Do you understand that predicament there, Mr. Lewis? You've got a nonconforming use.
I'm looking at it a little bit differently. I don't see us. We're not expanding. It's maintaining inside of the existing footprint.
Well, you're adding an accessory dwelling unit, which would be considered an expansion.
And it's a part of that lot, the lot that got carried over when they changed the zoning. Unfortunately, the accessory dwelling unit, which doesn't exist, that would fall into that non-conforming part, that you cannot expand on that.
Did you have a business?
The chairman, I have a question.
Go ahead.
What do we have for septic on this site? I think the original primary dwelling is a three-bedroom. Is there an approved three-bedroom septic system on the site?
There's an approved plan.
I think there is an old septic system. I think they're in the process of applying for a new expanded septic system.
Okay, so that that's to a designer and the state?
The barn?
Yeah.
With
yeah.
The barn.
Yes.
Okay. And the other, do you know what that design is for? Because right now you're limited to three bedrooms, and I think by the accessory dwelling we put it at four.
Five.
So one of these bedrooms has to go away. And or is that being addressed in this proposed septic design change?
Yes, it would be addressed in the design change.
How do we address the issue of changing a non-conforming use?
Expanding a non-conforming
right.
use.
That's correct.
It's expanding. And Dave said that he measured that the living area is somewhere around 1,300 square feet or more. It's a little difficult. The plans, if you don't have a full set of plans and you're looking at the 8.5 by 11, it's a little difficult to figure out exactly what was going on.
I'm an old guy and they're very small numbers.
It would be helpful if we had a set of a full set of plans to look at.
But before we go to that step, we have to address the fact that it's non-conforming. And you cannot expand upon or add to that non-conforming use. I hate to use the word grandfathered. That's all got carried over when the zoning changed. So right now, under light industrial 2, housing is not permitted, and you're suggesting housing.
Correct.
The dwelling that is there currently
yep.
can exist.
Right.
But now the question is, you cannot expand upon that, and that's the intent here by adding the accessory dwelling unit.
Okay, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Can that accessory dwelling unit be used for an industrial purpose at this point?
Only if the residential use ceased. You can't have both.
You can't, so you can't have the house and have some kind of
correct
office space, let's say.
You
in
could
that
have a home office or something to that effect. But
yeah,
you're
but,
talking
but in
industrial
terms of,
use.
No. Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of space
yeah
here that
yeah
can make use of.
Mr. Lewis, there's also a large barn on the property that they appear to be putting a foundation under and working on. Are there plans to do something with that barn also, to include some kind of another dwelling unit there?
No, it's just there like snowmobiles, you know, that kind of stuff, workshop. There's no additional residential request.
So how do we move forward with the non-conforming portion of it? There's not even an option to apply for a variance or a special exception.
Not tonight, because it hasn't been noticed, according to
right.
They could apply for a variance, I would assume, because it's a part of the ordinance that
right
they, if they want to expand it and ask for a variance. But one of the criteria of the variance is what distinguishes this property from all the other properties around there that makes it so unique that you can grant a variance in this.
Okay.
So that would be a question that they would have to answer, is what makes this property so special that it's so different than all the other properties in that area that we can grant the variance for that.
Is that an avenue you're willing to pursue?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we want to kind of exhaust our options and, you know, try to find a path to, you know, to create this accessory dwelling unit.
Would there be any
possible
value to doing a site walk on this?
Yeah, I know the property, but yeah, we could. I'm not sure why not.
If it would drive by, but kind of looking at it.
Yeah, we're looking at it here.
Yeah,
see it,
I guess.
Yeah, 3 miles of the road, I guess.
I drive by it every day.
Yeah, I can't
so
picture it at all.
Well, I think what would be helpful to us is to have a full set of plans or a larger set that we could look at and see what's going on there. And
so and would those new set of plans come into code on that 750?
That's correct. Right.
And with that, an application.
And some assurances that it, at least one of the owners will occupy a portion of this property.
Well, they have to.
Right. Some commitment to that.
Now, another question. Given what this is, what if the owner is an LLC? How does a corporation occupy a piece of property?
Well, it depends on what kind
of.
I don't either. I guess
there are names assigned to an LLC.
There are principals and stockholders. That's right.
That's right.
That's limited liability company. It could be a corporation. It could be a partnership.
Yeah,
it could be anything.
It could be several individuals.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, Brady Sullivan obviously as a company.
Right.
We have stockholders.
Oh, I hear you on that.
You know, I'm just wondering if.
Is there a way around that?
Is there a way around that? And
well,
it would have to be,
the property would have to be turned over to, I would assume, one of the two individuals who's living in the house.
The owner is Brady Self LLC, not Brady Sullivan. He's representing Brady Sullivan.
The owner.
Actual owner is
Brady Self LLC.
Yeah, that's the first time this question's ever arisen, Mr. Lewis. Okay. And it's a good one too, Rod.
Well, I think it is.
Yeah.
In this particular case, the owner of Brady's South LLC would be Shane Brady and Kimberly. Now, I mean, to overcome the challenge of the ownership, I mean, they would probably just add that individual to either, you know, the LLC or, yeah, you know, or make them the...
And that makes sense to me that,
right,
that, yeah, you do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe that solves that part, yeah, of the issue.
Well, they have plenty of legal counsel, too, so I'm, yeah, sure they could just, yeah, straighten
out. How do we dispense with this appeal?
Well,
I think we continue. If Mr. Lewis, if you want to add that other section, we have to notice for a variance in section 2.02, the expansion of the non-conforming,
right,
use. And so we would continue this part of the hearing till next month, and then that other section would have to be noticed, and we would take care of all of them at the same time next month, correct?
Okay.
Pardon me?
It would be
yeah, it's a completely, yeah, it's a new,
yeah,
application.
Did you catch that, Mr. Lewis? It would require a new application.
Well, I had two applications already in, right? Because I had one for the 1504E and one for the 502A. And so I would add another application for the 202?
Yeah, 202B.
In addition to all the fees that go with that. It's a completely new application. It's not... like the one that you put in originally, I combined those applications, you did them at the same time.
It's not a continuance, yep, of this case, though.
Well, no, you know what, I'm gonna ask you. Mr. Lewis, could you make it easy on us and withdraw your request for a variance for tonight's hearing so that we can start this thing all over fresh and consider all the code sections that you need a variance from at our next meeting? Because we have to decide this one tonight.
Well, we can continue it, can't we?
We can continue it, but if he did withdraw, that would make it all moot,
yeah,
and we move forward next month.
Right.
Can we continue it, though?
I mean,
not have to apply for another application.
What was that?
He didn't include that non-conforming in the variance request.
You have to start the whole thing over,
right,
and re-notify all the abutters.
Right. Hey,
well,
I'm just
going to
go get my
working around it.
When is the next meeting?
She's looking it up right now.
We're getting checking it out right now. We'll let you know.
The fourth Tuesday.
Typically, it's the fourth Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
Well,
am I going to be here? Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here. I'm not leaving till the beginning of August. I'll be here.
July.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. That's it. I got to go see my grandkids.
Well, we could continue it if you wanted to. You can,
sure,
either withdraw or continue.
Yeah, either way, we can either continue it, Mr. Lewis, or you can withdraw this application, and we'll consider them all again at the next meeting.
Okay. I would like to continue it and then just discuss with the owner how he wants me to proceed.
Okay. On 201B.
202.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
202. Did you make note of that, Mr. Lewis? 201B?
202.
202B.
Yes, I've got that. Thank you.
The deadline for new applications for next month is Sunday. I can give you till Monday to put in a new application. If it's not in by Monday, it's going to push it out to September.
No, to August.
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 No. Yeah, September 7th. I mean, October. Yeah, July.
Okay,
it's not
Monday
in by then,
but
it's going to go to August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
August.
Right.
Yeah. And then the hearing, the next hearing is the 21st of July?
The 28th.
Oh, 28th,
okay. So that's if you have it in by Monday.
Yep, understood. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And is that including a full set of new plans?
Yes, and it would be really helpful if we had a full set of plans to look at, Mr. Lewis.
Yes. So just we'll submit a full size set instead of smaller size.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Please.
Yeah.
As well as a PDF.
Okay. Very well.
Of everything new, and you can email me just as you did before. You can email me all. This is Lisa, by the way. all the information and the application?
I will do that.
Okay, somebody obviously has to.
So no notice will be sent, other than it'll be reflected in the minutes that we're continuing?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Except for the new application.
Except for the new application, that's correct.
If he chooses to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Any more questions? If not, that'll do it.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next order of business is minutes, is that correct? I move to accept the minutes of January 28th as submitted.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Minutes approved.
You have to roll.
Let the record show that Mark Romankaitis abstained. I was not at that meeting.
Thank you. Judith Zott, approved?
Yes.
Bob Beatron, approved?
Boyd Shivers, approved.
Ron Howe, approved.
And Mark Romankaitis abstains.
Tony, did you vote?
No.
No.
Oh, with Tony?
I think Tony was.
He's not in for anybody. He's an alternate, so he has to be asked.
Right, but was he at that?
He was at that meeting.
Yeah.
So Tony does get to vote on this.
Did you hear that, Tony?
Tony, you do get to vote on approval of the minutes of January 28th, as you were sitting on the board that day.
I had my mic off. I was trying to figure out how to turn it on. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You got it.
Is there any other business to come before the board? Did Boyd Shivers get sworn in? He got approved by the Board of Selectmen, is that correct?
Yeah.
Did he get? Okay.
Next day.
All right, very good. Any other, any other details? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Does everyone have this, or just me, Boyd? Or is it?
I've got one right here.
Everybody should have a copy of that. Keep it in your folders, please. Don't take it home with you or anything like that.
Okay. All right, so we don't lose it. We need it for.
Okay.
It's for future reference. When that comes before us, I have one for everybody.
All right. Did we have a motion to adjourn?
I need to read this. Yeah, I'm so moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do we need a roll call for adjournment?
For every motion that you guys do, yes.
Thank you. Judith Zott?
Aye.
Bob Beatron, aye.
Boyd Shivers, aye.
Ron Howe, aye.
Mark Romankaitis?
Mark Romankaitis, aye.
All righty, that'll do it. Thank you very much. You have the time, Lisa?
8:03 PM.
Yes, ma'am.